This is Radio Superior 1959, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from the 1950s. This is a true story of our past. So step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
Turn around, baby. Let's go.
Hey, you guys, dolls, cats, and kittens, it's your old fuddy-duddy buddy on a bearskin rug, Tim Michaels, here rocking your world on a radioactive Thursday, January 1st, 1959. Happy New Year! Denny Anderson has the 6 o'clock news. Harriet and Machine Gun Kelly take it to the streets and find out what people want for 1959. An attractive girlfriend for moi? From Sweden, perhaps?
Switzerland, maybe?
That'd be boss.
Well, I'm off to Cronstrom's Supper Club to find out what everyone hopes, wishes, and dreams for this year.
Classy place. The big gun is at King Coin Laundry.
That's different.
That's the gun. He's never been arrested in the laundromat before. Trade Home Shoes is picking up the tab for Denny's News. Trade Home has penny loafers on sale, just $2.99. Serving Superior since 1921 at Lucky 1313 Tower Avenue. Take it away, D.A.
Thanks, Tim, and good evening, everyone. Batista quits and flees Cuba. Russians and Big Three try to save face over Berlin crisis. And the first New Year's baby in Superior is a girl. We begin our world report from Havana.
This is Gilman Halstead in Havana. President Fulgencio Batista of Cuba gave up his long fight against Fidel Castro's rebels today and fled to the Dominican Republic with his top aides. Before leaving, Batista turned over power to a military junta. It was in the midst of a toast at Camp Columbia to the peace and prosperity of Cuba that Batista announced he was giving up power and fleeing the country. Batista led Cuba from 1933 to 1944 and again from 1952 until today. He says he's giving up the presidency to save the country from further bloodshed. But it appears he feared the army, long the prop of his regime, might rebel as casualties mounted. His decision came after 4 days of heavy and inconclusive fighting at Santa Clara, capital of Las Villas province in central Cuba. Batista and his party took off for the Dominican Republic in a DC-3 presidential plane about 3:30 a.m. The group included all members of Batista's family, except for two sons, who went to New York this week. Other military men, civilians and women, and children are leaving Cuba. One plane brought 53 of them to Jacksonville, Florida. Included among that group are 16 Army officers, including two generals. In Washington, Castro's representative, Ernesto Betancourt, says the new regime is unacceptable to the rebel chieftain because it allowed the leading assassins to flee Cuba. He says Castro has made clear the only acceptable solution would be for the Batista regime to submit itself to trial for crimes against the people. There are fears here that fighting will spread to this capital once Batista's flight becomes known. It's estimated that Castro has 5,000 partisans in Havana, many of them well armed. There is also fear they might start a hunt for persons connected with Batista that they long have marked for death. The group which flew off with Batista includes National Police Lieutenant Colonel Esteban Ventura, who is one of the most hated men in Cuba because of his torture of rebel sympathizers. There was no immediate reaction from the rebel radio to Batista's dramatic move. In Havana, this is Gilman Halstead.
This is Jack Bell in Washington. Russia and the Western Big Three appear to be edging toward a face-saving way out of the new Berlin crisis. Soviet Premier Nikita Khrushchev touched off the tension with a November 10th speech demanding an end to four-power occupation of Berlin. He hinted that Russia would no longer guarantee Western access to the city, which is located deep within communist East Germany. Then, in a formal note on Thanksgiving Day, he proposed that West Berlin be made a free city and told the U.S., Britain, and France to pull out their troops. He gave them 6 months to talk it over. Soviet Foreign Minister Andrei Gromyko compounded the tension on Christmas Day. He declared any attempt to keep the Western troops in isolated Berlin by force would threaten a big war imperiling even the American continent. Today, in a New Year's Day greeting to the American people, Khrushchev seemed to be easing off. He said, quote, "There is no disputed or unsettled issue that could not be solved by peaceful means, providing naturally all the parties concerned genuinely desire to do so. On our part, we can say that we do have such desire," end quote. In Washington, this is Jack Bell.
This is Duke Skorich at Cape Canaveral. A busy and fruitful 1958 ended with a double bang at this space-age shooting gallery. A Navy Polaris rocket and an Air Force Thor launched yesterday before the New Year's Day shutdown of the test center both exploded in the sky in a day of spectacular fireworks. A year ago, with Sputnik orbiting ominously overhead and the Soviet Union holding a massive lead in the space race, two failures so close together would have plunged the nation into deep gloom. Today, America can laugh them off, for out of such failures have come successes which put the free world in a neck-and-neck struggle with the Reds. In one momentous year, this base launched several satellites, one a 4.5-ton Atlas which dwarfs the Sputniks. So residents of this bustling missile area took yesterday's blow-ups in stride. The Polaris, a solid-fuel forerunner of an intermediate-range ballistic missile, which may be ready by 1960 for firing from nuclear-powered submarines, went up in midday. It looked good for 90 seconds, scooting along at 5,000 miles an hour. Then the range safety officer noted that the missile was drifting off course and pressed a button that blew it to pieces. About 10 hours later, the Never Say Die launch crews blasted a fiery Thor missile off the Cape. It looked bad from the beginning. Instead of climbing straight up, it leaned at an awkward angle. Again, 90 seconds after firing, the safety officer stabbed the destruction button. The Thor exploded, and a huge funnel of flame marked its plunge into the Atlantic just off the Cape. At Cape Canaveral, Florida, this is Duke Scorich.
This is Ray Tucker in New York. As midnight rolled around the earth, most of this old world forgot its troubles, at least momentarily, to give a hearty welcome to 1959. Some scaled mountains, lit bonfires, honked horns, tossed crockery from their windows, and tried to shimmy up greased lampposts. In places of worship, people welcomed 1959 with prayer. Both sides of the Iron Curtain joined in the merriment. It was party time in Moscow, Russia, as well as Moscow, Kansas. In a New Year's message, Soviet Premier Nikita Khrushchev said the prospects for preserving peace in 1959 are good. President Eisenhower observed the evening quietly with relatives and friends at his Gettysburg farm. In Japan, old and young, rich and poor, led by the imperial family, welcomed 1959, the year of the wild boar, with traditional worship at Shinto shrines and Buddhist temples. Parisians greeted the new year by leaning on their auto horns as they drove down the brightly lit Champs-Élysées. They exercised an annual privilege because horn blowing is illegal at any other time. Booming chimes of Big Ben welcomed in 1959 in London and sent thousands of revelers into wild auld lang syne celebrations around the boarded-up statue of Eros in Piccadilly Circus. In Rome, Italians set off fireworks, which is illegal, and threw pots, pans, and dishes out their windows, a custom even older and equally illicit. In Cherryville, North Carolina, musket fire crackled as the custom reached its 150th year. Bangor, Maine celebrated with a huge bonfire of discarded Christmas trees. In Colorado Springs, fireworks were shot off the top of Pike's Peak. The Adaman Club continued its 37-year tradition of climbing the icy slopes of Bar Trail, setting off fireworks, and then adding a man to their club. In New York, this is Ray Tucker.
In Pinehurst, North Carolina, they sang Carry Me Back to Old Virginia today for this resort community's most famous citizen, General George C. Marshall. Ill and in a bed, listened intently as the military band from nearby Fort Bragg and relatives and friends played and sang the old ballad outside Marshall's window. Marshall celebrated his 78th birthday. The former Army Chief of Staff, Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense, author of the Marshall Plan, a 1953 Nobel Peace Prize winner, is in good spirits. Mrs. Marshall relayed the song request to the band. It is the General's favorite. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:09. Tim Michaels has this message from Trade Home Shoes.
Trade Home Shoes has a big semi-annual sale going on. Great savings for all the family during our clearance sale. Every item from regular stock. Women's and teenagers, leather shoes, sports flats, dress, $1.99 and $2.66. Many styles to choose from. Women and girls' penny loafers, $2.99 in black or brown. Or you can get men's and big boys' Oxfords, genuine Goodyear welts, reduced to $5.99, sizes 6.5 to 11. Serving Superior since 1921. It's Trade Home Shoes. Trade Home Shoes for the big semi-annual sale going on now at 1313 Tower Avenue, Superior. Denny?
It's official. Community editor Harriet Fahrig reports from St. Joseph's Hospital on the first baby of the new year in Superior.
She's 6 ounces and 13 inches long, healthy and red, and looks a bit like Winston Churchill. Well, a cute Winston Churchill, of course. Mr. and Mrs. Roy Langford, 2225 East 7th Street, are the happy parents of the first baby born in Superior in 1959. The little one entered the world at 12:40 this morning here at St. Joseph's Hospital. She and her parents will receive a wealth of gifts donated by Superior merchants to the first baby of the year. She is Langford's fourth child. The first boy to be born in Superior is a son of Mr. and Mrs. Eldon Sanders, 1001 East 4th Street. He was delivered here at 1:55 a.m. He weighs a robust 8 pounds and is 19 inches long. He is the Sanders' third child. Denny?
Thanks, Harriet. Now, one man's opinion. In approaching 1959, Superior faces what may be the most crucial period of its history. During this year will occur the event toward which this city and Duluth have been looking as a guiding star for more than half its century of existence. The St. Lawrence Seaway Deep Waterway will make the Twin Ports an ocean port, giving it direct access to the commerce of the world. This is not to say that there has been no preparation. A harbor commission is at work. With the meager funds placed at its disposal, it has taken steps in the right direction. As yet, the city council has not felt the time ripe for greater expenditure. On the Minnesota side of the harbor, extensive effort is being put forth on the theory that millions must be spent to make the harbor facilities adequate to handle ocean commerce. If that be true, Superior has made no material headway toward that end. But is spending money by the city the answer? And on what? From the standpoint of both natural and man-made port facilities, Superior outdistances them all. Because of its less extensive port, but its fine facilities developed by private capital and intelligence support, Milwaukee has become an unusual example of commercial success. Various other ports off Lakes Michigan and Superior have more or less limited natural advantages. But Superior is different. Its natural advantages compel the growth that has long been visualized. But how can it be accomplished with the resources available? And that's one man's opinion and the 6 o'clock news. Good night, everybody, and be kind. Tim?
My eyes have glazed over.
The St. Lawrence Seaway opening this year means jobs and families staying here, and it may not be sexy, but it is important.
Well, I had a vision during whatever it was you were talking about, a vision of crockery throwing, grease pole climbing, classy chassis honking, Christmas tree bonfires. Want to join me?
I'll pass.
Let's gaze into the magic weather crystal ball for this Thursday, January 1st, 1959. It's going to get super Murgatroyd cold. Tonight's low 2 below zip and a high tomorrow of zip. Add a northerly wind at 15 to 30 miles per hour, cats and kittens, and the goose pimples are free of charge. Let's get super hot with our first rock and roll of 1959. Let's sing Summertime and Poison Ivy by the Coasters on the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
She comes on like a rose, but everybody knows she'll get you in touch. You can look, but you better not touch. Poison Ivy. Poison Ivy comes a-peeping around. She's pretty as a daisy, but look out, man, she's crazy. She'll really do you in if you let her get under your skin. Poison Ivy. Poison Ivy comes a-creepin' around. Measles will make you bumpy, and mumps will make you lumpy, and chicken pox will make you jump and twitch. A common cold will fool ya, and whooping cough will cool ya. Poison Ivy, Lord, will make you itch. You're gonna need an ocean of calamine lotion. You'll be scratching.
us around.
Poison ivy, poison ivy.
Late at night while you're sleeping, poison ivy comes creeping around.
Measles will make you puppy, and mumps will make you lumpy, and chicken pox will make you jump and twitch. A common cold will fool ya, and whooping cough will cool ya.
The poison ivy, Lord, will make you itch.
You're gonna need an ocean of calamine lotion. You'll be scratching like a hound
the minute you start to mess around.
Poison ivy, poison ivy.
Poison ivy comes to creeping around.
From Atlantic Records, the Yakety Yak Boys themselves, the Coasters, and Poison Ivy on Kickin' KUWS. Hey, happy new tickles come from Fred Post and Lyman Up the Grove at Bingham Hardware. Good vibes, too, from Bugle and Marisak Grocers at 616 Tower Avenue. They specialize in fresh poultry. Grab a couple of dozen eggs for 79 cents. About enough for my breakfast. Kempinski Paint and Glass Company also says hoop-de-doo in 1959.
Kempinski Paint and Glass says hoop-de-doo?
Doubtful, but I always wanted to hear you say hoop-de-doo. Superior Motors urges everyone to burn rubber safely in 59. They've got a 53 two-door V8 Dodge two-tone red and white beauty on the lot for $495. That's a great way to start the new year. And here's one to burn up the charts this year, Lloyd Price and Stagger Lee on the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
The night was clear. And the moon was yellow, and the leaves came tumbling down. I was standing on the corner when I heard my bulldog bark. He was barking at the two men who were gambling in the dark. It was Stagger Lee.
Gruesome, baby, but what a cool tune. Lloyd Price and Stagger Lee till the bullet went through Billy and broke the bartender's glass. Out of orbit, baby. Out of orbit. We've got two birdies on the line. Maybe that should be fishies on the line with community editor Harriet Farrig at Cronstrom Supper Club and Machine Gun Kelly at King Coin Laundry with some New Year's wishes. Who to first?
Ladies first.
Newsmen are always right.
But I want to get out of here. I hate laundromats.
Goodness, it's such a clean place.
Well, this place is so boring, I'm thinking of taking a spin in the dryer.
Don't do it, Big Gun. You'll end up in the land of lost socks.
And everyone wears slappy duds. No cool threads here. It's like it was wash day or something.
Hang on, cuz. We'll go to Classy with Cronstrom's, and we'll hit the dive at King Coin.
Why can't I get to go to the supper clubs and snazzy people places?
I'll save you some goodies from the relish tray, Gun. Several people are lined up waiting to say their New Year's wish, Timothy.
Joseph Smith, 1519 Hewitt Avenue. That people would be concerned about the quality of education being given their children, that they would give as much concern to this important problem as they do to things not so important.
Thank you, Mr. Schmidt. Very good wishes from everyone here at Cronstrom Supper Club, Timothy. Your turn, Machine Gun.
Got a twin spin first.
Negatory. The spin cycles are making me dizzy. I've got to go, baby.
Twin spins. Wait for no man, especially a KUWS Sea Cruise twin spin. Oh, wait. I'm starting to hear bells. Now I think I'm hearing horns. Now I'm hearing music. How about we go on a cruise, a little bit of a sea cruise with Frankie Ford. And the beginning of a KUWS Twin Spin on the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
Old man rhythm is in my shoes. It's no use of sitting and singing the blues. So be my guest, you've got nothing to lose. Won't you let me take you on a sea cruise? Please. I don't like begging, but now I'm on bending knee. I got to get to rock and get my hat off the rack. I got to boogie woogie like a knife in the back. So be my guest, you've got nothing to lose. Won't you let me take you on a sea cruise? Baby, I ain't lying. My heart is beating rhythm and it's right on time. So be my guest, you've got nothing to lose. Won't you let me take you on a sea cruise? Ooh-wee, ooh-wee, baby. Ooh-wee, ooh-wee, baby. Ooh-wee, ooh-wee, baby. Won't you let me take you on a sea cruise? Feel like jumping, baby, won't you join me, please?
Let's go beyond the sea now with Bobby Darin on a KUWS Twin Spin.
Well, beyond the sea, somewhere waiting for me. My lover stands on golden sand and watches the ships that go sailing somewhere. Could fly like birds on high, then straight to her arms I'd go sailing. It's far beyond the star, it's near beyond the moon. I know beyond a doubt. Will be beyond the sea, and never again I'll go sailing.
more before. Happy we'll be again the sea, and never again out to sail. No more sailing, so long sailing, bye-bye.
You know, I want to stay on the sea, so let's go on the Sea of Love with Phil Phillips and the Twilights. On the Twin on the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
Come with me, my high love, to the sea of love. I love you. Do you remember when we met? That's the day I knew you were my pet. I want to tell you how much I love you.
Be still, my romantic ones. That's Phil Phillips and the Twilights and Sea of Love on the back end of a sea cruise twin spin. Okay, I lied. It was a triple play, and you know how rare they are, but I couldn't resist the sea thing. Now, back on shore, let's hear it from King Coin Laundry with Machine Gun Kelly.
Don't sound so disappointed that it's only me.
You know I love you, baby.
That's going way too far. All right, dudes and dudettes, stop folding your undies and lay it on me.
Willard Nelson, 2430 Banks Avenue, Superior, Wisconsin, at your service. I wish employment would pick up in Superior. People must be desperate to try a holdup such as the recent one at the Standard Oil service station.
Paul Dorfman, son of Robert Dorfman, 605 North 14th Street, that a college scholarship would come my way. I'll take my chances against the world from there.
Robert Larson, 1523 Banks Avenue. I may sound selfish, but my wish is that business would pick up at my concession at the courthouse. I like the work and the people, but I can't support myself on the income. You got any dimes? One dime doesn't dry anything.
I know, man. They jip you that way, especially if you're drying thick stuff. What's up, Doc?
Michael Nemchek. I go to Central. My wish is that we would have a new living room suite to please my mother and a new car to please my dad. And a hot chariot for me would be the berries, but not as important.
Moving, man, moving. Parents first. Wow. That's my load of laundry from the King Coin, King Timothy.
Heading out there, big gun?
I will if your stuff is dry. I'm never doing your laundry again.
But my fans would kill to clean my underwear.
Ooh, we'd all be relieved. Thanks, gun.
See you later, alligator.
In a while, crocodile.
You're going to swallow this song and love will stream from your fingers and toes, cats and kittens. It's new from the Fleetwoods, and it sounds like the singers are making love with their voices. This has Come Softly to Me. I'm the Tim Michaels Slow Dance Party.
Dum-do-dum-do-be-do-dum-dum.
dum do dum do be dum da dum do be dum softly darling do be dum softly darling do be dum softly darling come softly darling come to me stay by a station love you so, please hold me so tight, all through the night.
I speak softly, darling, hear what I say.
Fleetwoods with a backseat bingo hit and come softly to me on Caressing KUWS. Now let's go to Douglas County Civil Defense Assistant Director Section 2 Horn Division Colonel Joseph Buster Raffaele's backyard along with Station Chief Engineer Joe Gardonio.
That title sounds like you're some kind of band director.
It took years of training to get this far.
And a map.
And both hands in a flashlight. I mean, everybody wants in on civil defense duties because we're on the front lines of protecting the good old U.S. of A. from commie rocket attacks, commie infiltration, and we get 10% off our backyard bomb shelters at Ross Department Store.
Getting to the point, when do you expect the Atlas satellite over northern Wisconsin?
Just saw it a minute ago. 750 miles up there. Wow, needle!
And I missed it?
Yep.
If you hadn't been so busy talking to that weirdo Tommy Gunn guy at the laundromat, you'd have gotten our apt, insightful, precise description of the Atlas satellite.
So we get needle for that description.
Keen and needle.
I'll tell you what, you slap a nuclear bomb on that baby, we're good to go.
That's what you think of gazing off into the January night sky? That's just plain horrible.
That's just good old-fashioned common sense. In a year that we hope sees the end of the commie government once and for all. Now, here's wishing the people democracy in 59. So, Happy New Year, Nikita.
And Mao, don't forget Red China.
Well, that was mail.
Well, hold the mail. That's it from the backyard of the Colonel's estate. Happy 1959.
This is an estate?
Say Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year, people. And that's an order. That is all.
Now, what about that Atlas rocket? Hello. They're either out to orbit or out to lunch. Harriet's back, so is Machine Gun Kelly.
We've decided we should all take in a movie tonight, boys.
Two Superior Theater managers have come up with good news for theater patrons. Beacon Theater owner Roy McMinn and Palace Theater manager Don Fadness say that as of today, January Theater Bargain Month begins. The adult admission will be 50 cents, students will get in for 40 cents, and the children's tickets will be 15 cents.
Both say the idea came when a Superior State College instructor informed them that after the Christmas holiday and students return to school, they have more time for movies than any other time of the year. He also pointed out that in January, long hours of darkness prevail. That means time hangs heavy on their hands.
They not only snapped up this idea for the 3,500 students at Superior State, but extended the price cuts to all customers. Since the city has so much seasonable employment, Many superiorites have the same time situation as the students.
Nido Kino.
It'll be hard to decide, though, boys. The Beacon is playing Tom Thumb, who stands exactly 3.5 inches small.
Ed Sullivan gave it a thumbs up.
Or there's the Geisha Boy with Funny Boy Jerry Lewis.
Why, hey, I'm sorry, Mrs. Livingston. Let me help. I'm Miss Dean Martin. Not really, though. Hey!
Why does everyone feel compelled to make those sounds whenever Jerry Lewis's name comes up?
I can't help it, man.
Time to cut all cats and kittens. Tonight on WDSM-TV, it's the Rose Bowl Pigskin Clash, the Ed Wynn Show, and You Bet Your Life. We'll be back same time, same dog pound, the good Lord willing, and the big gun doesn't get us busted doing Jerry Lewis imitations at the palace.
I'm making like a library and book, so I don't miss the Bugs Bunny cartoon. See you later, alligator.
In a while, Crocodile. Danny Anderson and the gang, Tim Michaels here, rocking your world.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1959, an original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Performances for tonight's show are by Duke Skorich, Tom Martinson, Don Hansen, and Pat Kelly. All events reported on Radio Superior 1959 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram and Duluth Herald. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.
So we get Needle for that description.
Keen and Needle.
Tom, let me get you to do the, because Denny,
yeah,
Denny jumped all over you. So.
Just like the old days.
I'm underpaid now, so I...
Anyways. Can't get two words in without Denny horning in on your ass, right?
Scars from the 80s floor crew, huh?
I knew he'd get back at me.